Well, today on Rethink Real Estate, we've got Carolyn Ancrum. She is a social media expert. As I explained in the episode, we call her the digital marketing unicorn. She is the CEO of OSnap, which is a social media company that helps people with their digital presence. So today we talk about the conversation with Carolyn got really, I guess, raw in the sense of how people struggle with social media, how it's seen as a necessary evil, how it's a really love-hate relationship with that element of your business. I know that on the podcast previously, we've gone through it with Chris a little bit, but Carolyn really brings a nice sensitive touch to it and a little bit of vulnerability in a few different angles. Again, a really rounded and well-purposed episode around the navigating the digital space side of things. Hope you enjoy. Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. Carolyn, welcome to Rethink Real Estate.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So for those that are just tuning in at the moment, tell people why they should hang around and listen to the digital marketing unicorn.
Well, I spill all the tea on social media, things that frustrate us, things that excite us, and things that are a little bit unpopular, and things that your gurus that you see out there are going to actually tell you the truth around. That's what we're going to talk about today.
Well, I think that that's got a few people intrigued anyway, but I think that you've just hit the, I really like that word frustrated. Mm-hmm. You know, social media is a, for me, it's a frustration. For the real estate community that we speak to on a regular basis, I think it's a necessary evil. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a love-hate relationship with most of the time. And that said, and I don't want to be ageist, but for the generation probably above you and I, you know, it's certainly something that they feel they need to do, and they usually just offset and hand off to somebody else. What's your general consensus around social media? I suppose that is a really vague, crappy question, but hey.
I was like, where do I even begin to unpack that? I think you hit it right on the head when you said it's a necessary evil. I think a lot of people, veterans in the business have really kind of, you know, Michael Jackson walked, you know, moonwalked their way back away from it. And I think that's the last thing that they should be doing. They need to be embracing whatever is most authentic to them. And let me tell you, I used to have an allergic reaction when someone would say, authenticity, like, it's like, bleh. You know, there's a reason why it was like the word of the year for 2023 is because it was overused. All right.
But I will tell it's so you, true. It's so true.
I will tell you, however you define authenticity, it's whatever makes you, you, what makes you human, what makes you approachable. And for those who are, again, of the more veterans in the business who didn't grow up with an iPhone in their hand, you have to embrace who you are, because guess what? You have more expertise and knowledge than the young bucks that are coming in hot with their social media trends, okay? And you need to expand that authority. Now, before we shift here, one great example I have for you. It's not a real estate agent, but it is a 72-year-old grandmother. Her name is, handle on Instagram is @brunchwithbabs. She is one of my favorite accounts to watch. She's from like New York. She just tells it like it is. She gives really great advice, recipes, how to load your dishwasher properly, right? There's always that one person in your household that's like, you're doing it wrong. She sets the record straight. No more arguments. You're welcome in advance. So make sure that you're taking a look at her account, because now she's been on the Today Show loads of times. She's been on Good Morning America. She has a deal with Talbots, right? Like, she is embracing who she is and the advice that she can share that feels authentic to her.
Let's lean into the name though, @brunchwithbabs. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. And she starts every single video with, "Hi, it's Babs," like literally every single video.
But just leaning into that and giving your raw self to that situation, I think is, mm-hmm, is so important to that authenticity that we've beaten to death. But I think that, you know, there's a part of this where Do you believe, this is, again, it's a little bit of a loaded question, but there's agents that are out there that have this clinical social media that they basically just put on autopilot with somebody that just posts for them, you know, their individual listings or whatever it may be. And it's funny, you know, there's a service that we offer within our own internal company to run their social media. And I think the girl who does it is great. You know, Emily does a really wonderful job, but trying to get them to connect some level of themselves to it is very difficult for her because people really do it because that necessary evil side of it. Are they better off not doing it at all versus doing it clinically?
I think something is better than nothing always. However, it's that tactic of kind of, you know, run of the mill posting, oh, but look, it's another open house. Oh, another house with a sold sign. Oh, people don't care about that. They care about what you know. And so how can we position, you know, as the person who's providing that like outsourcing kind of tactic, how can we get them to believe that it's a partnership rather than us like on our own little island doing the thing?
Yeah.
And that's something that, I mean, I've been there, right? Like I help a lot of clients with their social done for you is what I call it, right? But it's only done for you to an extent. Until AI gets really good, I still cannot be you on video, you know? Like it's getting scarily close to that, but for now I can't be my clients on video. So how can we develop a partnership or develop something that makes it easy for you to take action on some type of content? And that's where I say, you know, there's that level of authenticity, level of self-awareness that's required when you're creating content. Like if you love, like I was just talking to a prospect today who's a agent in Florida, and she's like, oh, me and my husband love to road trip up and down the coast taking pictures of historical homes. I'm like, hello. Like that would be a really cool like element of your social to trickle in, because not only does it show that you know the area really, really well, but you are starting to niche down and specifically focus on a specific type of home too.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, right. It's not until you kind of have that conversation where you pull out who that person really is, what they're interested in. And I will tell you the next day, she's like, oh, this weekend I'm going to go travel. I'm like, great. Monday, I had like 4 photos. I was like, because it felt easy. Can we just like say for what it is, like social media doesn't have to be hard.
No.
Like it doesn't need to be hard.
But also the other part, Carolyn, that I want to just lean on with you as well is that it also doesn't have to be measured. Like I think that there's a lot of people that are like, okay, I'm going to do this for 6 months, and if it doesn't bring me a lead, then I'm not actually going to do it anymore. And unfortunately, I believe that social media is that passive element. Like, for example, let's associate it to the real estate community. There is no way, shape, or form that I would be actually sending out mailers to an individual neighborhood anymore because they get thrown into the junk pile with everything else. I would rather do some type of small paid advertisement within a individual community directly targeted within a marketplace via social media. But I just want people to understand, and again, you're going to be able to shed some way better light on this, is that you're not going to get anything from that. And if you do, amazing, that is just, you know what, that is the cherry on top. Let's just take the gratitude of actually that coming inbound. But realistically is that it is a layering effect that you are layering for so long that it has to be a part of the complete package of total awareness. I think that's part of it as well. Why do you see people measure it so hard?
I think because we get the misconceptions dealt to us every single day through the noise that social media can be. And it's like the gurus being like, oh, I grew 40,000 followers in 2 seconds. And you're like, oh my gosh, I grew like 100 in like 2 years. Like, am I behind? And I think for us, just as people in business for ourselves, really focusing on what is the metric that matters for us? Because I'm a big proponent of not paying too much attention to the followers, because truth be told, you can have 2,000 followers and mass loads of clients and business, and you can have 200,000 followers and none. And I think for a lot of us, we get swept up into the comparison of the gurus of like these viral real estate agents and, you know, these celebrity style real estate agents, but we're looking at their chapter 24 and we're on chapter 1 of our journey. And I think that's where things get very skewed. And social media oftentimes is like, right, we've heard it's a highlight reel. But I'm encouraging everyone to show like the hard, show like the things that went wrong, show the things that went right. All of that makes you human. And that's what draws people to you and repels people away from you who aren't for you. And that is like the best case scenario.
How do you coach people to lean into the discomfort of going through the hard? Because, you know, one of the greatest approaches that I've ever seen in a listing presentation is where you say to sellers, you say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I think that today I could take you through all of the success that we've had as a company and all of the success that we've had locally. But the thing that I would rather focus on today is actually going through the individual case studies where we've seen properties fail quite heavily and hard. And I'd rather take you through those situations and what we've learned from those, both locally and internally to the company, and sort of present that to you today. So we know we're not going to focus on those parts. And like, I do this training with our people, and they literally start to recoil. Like they're like, no, we're not going to do that, are we? And it's one of those things that it could be done so beautifully in social media, but how do you coach people to feel a little bit of vulnerability on social?
It's definitely a lot like pulling teeth. I'm not going to even sit here and sugarcoat it. I think really where, you know, once again, to kind of double down on this is I have to learn about who's sitting on the other side of the screen, what they like, what feels normal and natural for them. And that is always the first step. And then I have to pull out their backstory. So this is where like my journalism degree kind of comes in, where I'm like getting the questions to get the answers that I want to like pull out of them so that they feel comfortable sharing their story in a way that is vulnerable, but also has a level of expertise involved with it. And I always encourage people to do video. A lot of people don't want to do video, but right now that's really what's working. And I'm like, okay, what can we do to test this? What can we do to try this out? And oftentimes it looks like just popping on a Zoom with a client, hitting record, asking them a few questions, slicing and dicing it, and putting it up and see what works.
Yeah.
And I think we get so overwhelmed around the production, right? Especially as real estate agents, it's like, oh, that photo isn't light and airy. Like, should we really post it? And for me, I think the biggest thing we learned in 2020, it keeps showing us lessons after lesson, you know, 4 or 5 years later, right? Of that we can show up perfectly unperfect and still win.
Perfectly unperfect. I love that.
Because like a great example, and I've used this all the time, is during 2020, Joanna Gaines from HGTV, right, Fixer Upper, she was doing a special actually over on the Food Network. And her cameraman was her like 13-year-old son with their phone. Because if you think about it, we have a production studio right here in our back pocket. And that is so freaking powerful. And so he was filming it. And she, at the end, she's like, you know what? I forgot to tell you about an ingredient. I'm going to add it in right now. Like clip to it. And it was a television show. Like, this wasn't something that was on social. So if Joanna Gaines can film a special on her iPhone for the Food Network for millions to tune into, I'm pretty sure, I believe in us, that we can do a 30-second, this is who I am and this is what I do and you're welcome, please contact me kind of shtick on social.
So can we dive into, let's dive into platforms. Let's dive into opinions and platforms because okay. I'm loving your approach on those, everything that you've said so far. But okay, so if I'm just going to go through and rattle a few off and you're going to correct me if I'm wrong here.
Okay.
We've got Facebook, we've got YouTube. Now within Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, there's posts, YouTube, I guess there's shorts, there's long format. Same with Facebook. You've got now you've got reels and you've got shorts and you've got all the posts and whatever it is. You've got LinkedIn, you've got TikTok. What is another medium that I'm missing here if I'm missing any?
Pinterest.
Oh, Pinterest for the home. You know what? We've really not embraced that overly here. So that's not bad. That's good. So then we've got Pinterest. Is there any of those that at the moment that are, I guess, not relevant to the real estate network? Is there like, again, where do you see that if you were going to pick a couple, what should you pick? Like, what is the strategy around individual platforms?
Well, it's so funny because I was just reading a study, and I can send you the link, from Pew Research Center, and they did a survey of Americans' social media use. And so they surveyed around like, 5,700 adults between last year, like May through September. And the top platforms were these three: YouTube at 83%, Facebook at 68%, Instagram at 47%, and actually Pinterest at 35%. Then it kind of starts to drop down: TikTok, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, blah, blah, blah. But roughly 8 in 10 adults, again, 83%, report ever using the video-based platform. Like, that's a lot. And I think we have Google, right, to blame for that, because YouTube's owned by Google. So we search something and it kind of shows at the top with a video instance. But I was like kind of floored by that, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really accurate and refined information. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that study was done just for kind of context. The report was released on January 31, 2024.
Oh, that's perfect. There you go.
Yeah. But YouTube is a strategy that I've been doubling down on this past year, because I was sitting at a live event of all things, and there were 10 clients of this person who was running the event up on the stage. And she went through and asked, like, how did you find me? How did you find me? I was thinking everyone's going to say Facebook ads, Instagram ads. 10 out of the 10 people there, 9 of them said YouTube.
Wow.
I was like, well, I guess I'm going to be doing YouTube.
it's funny though. Like, it's kind of the one thing that the only thing that I don't like about the dominance of YouTube is that there are some really good people out there that people should be using on all fronts that just mm-hmm. really feel uncomfortable with being the focal point of that camera angle. And you know, at the end of the day, you and I are on this median at the moment. You know, we're on YouTube with this episode. This is our long format that then creates our short format for all of our stuff, which is just wonderful that I don't have to do the individual pinpointed short format stuff, because then our guy, Chris, who everybody's familiar with on the podcast, goes and chops it up and all that stuff. It's wonderful. But that said, okay, is that as it pertains to people that are uncomfortable in front of video, what's the alternative route for them? Even though we're talking about 89% or 86% of the marketplace, sorry, I can't remember the exact number.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of want to get comfortable with it, but what's the alternative route for them? Is it a voiceover of like B-roll? Is it, I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, so I think this is a challenge because, again, not everyone feels, to your point, comfortable on video. Something that I always try to get clients to decide is like, what is their like domino, like their anchor piece of content that only they can create? And for a lot of us, it is video, because again, I can't be you on video yet. But for me, it's blog content.
Okay.
And then I slice and dice blog content into, example, Instagram carousels, into talking points to make it a little bit clearer for me to articulate what I want to say on a video. And that's exactly what I do now, is I write the blog first. I see what's working from my SEO standpoint, because I know YouTube, again, driven by SEO and search. So I repurpose that into videos, but I already have basically my script already written. And I just go from there. So, and again, it goes back to my journalism roots. I've been writing since I was 10. Like, it's just part of how I process information.
Can I ask more about blogs? I want to ask more about blogs, because that's something that we definitely haven't dived into a lot on this podcast, is that, first of all, what is a blog? Second of all, is that, because again, that's how naive I am, is that what is a blog? Where would somebody post that blog? You know, what are the topics that people could write about outside of anything? You know, like what is the purpose of a blog? Is it something that they have to have on their website? How does that work?
Yeah, so a blog typically does live on your website. It's there to create additional content for Google to like index, for Google to scrape information and serve it up in search engine results pages. And the great thing about this, just like social, I don't know if it's great. I'm going to say it's like, it's fun, but it's also frustrating. You know what I mean? Like, it's a consistent thing over time will make it win. So I've been blogging, I think it's been about 2 years now, every single week. just because that's easy for me to crank out content. But I am now getting significant amount of traffic to my website. Great. And then I take the ones that Google Analytics is telling me is really good. And typically they're long form content, really broken up into, subheads, just scannable, easy to digest content. I throw some fun GIFs in there because it keeps people interested in scrolling down. And by looking at the analytics, I can see what's working, what's not working. How do I need to shift and change? How do I, elevate content that's already there so people can discover me faster? And so right. those of you who are working within a specific market, a specific geographic area, having blogs around like what to do in, like I'm in Northern Virginia, like what to do in Northern Virginia in the spring. And yep. like you literally could have the five things and then pictures, and you could even go there yourself and take your own pictures and tell people on Instagram to go read your blog because you just checked out this awesome tulip farm and now you should go.
It's like those websites. What is it like, Thrillist and like
BuzzFeed
and stuff. Like all they do, they target the people that like for tourism side of things. Like you're in Manhattan and you're like, what are the five best restaurants in Manhattan or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you can't get into them. However, they get a whole bunch of traffic. It's something that definitely, if you're uncomfortable from a video perspective, I can certainly see a blog as a real angle to get some good traffic to things. Now, the other thing that I want to ask you about some AI tools that for the social media game. But the reason that it popped up into my mind was because Reddit just did a deal with OpenAI, from a licensing perspective, where they're going to allow them to scrape their content on Reddit, from an OpenAI perspective, which is just, it's all getting real weird and strange, and these licensing agreements and all this stuff that's happening and volume and whatever. But it just made me think that from a Reddit perspective, I've never heard anybody on a real estate side of things going after Reddit. Do you know much about Reddit?
I don't, but I will tell you, I get this question a lot when I teach about social media. They're like, what about Reddit? Mm-hmm. I have found Reddit to be a place where, yes, what's great about Reddit, just like Discord and all these other kind of niched down communities that are happening, is they're niched down. I think that's the coolest place, is like it's one specific thing about one specific area or game or copy or whatever. And you're allowed to have those conversations in there. I think that where it gets a little dangerous is like people just spewing off at the mouth, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. You open yourself up for some serious, I don't know.
So if you don't have like tough skin, like maybe opt out.
Yeah. Because like these are people that are ready to go to war on their keyboard. Like they are keyboard warriors in all shapes and forms. So you've got to be confident.
Trolls, they're real.
So before, because I really want to get to explore your company a little bit more and talk about that a little bit. But before we get there, talk to me about some AI tools that you're using or you're seeing used in the social media world.
Yeah. So one tool that I haven't had a chance to check out yet, but I know some of my colleagues have, and I'm like chomping at the bit for a few reasons. One, because it allows me to be my clients on video, which is, again, very scary. And also, I don't know where I stand when it comes to authenticity there. I think that's where things get a little gray and fuzzy, but it's called HeyGen, HeyGen, where you can literally record yourself and your voiceover and it will like be you, but reading a different script. It's wild. It is. Wow. And your mouth is, it's wild to see in real life. So I want to try that and I want to test it with my own avatar just because I'm just curious, but it literally looks like you. It has mannerisms. It's wild.
That's scary.
It's terrifying, scary. Honestly.
It's terrifying, yeah.
Can we have like a disclaimer, like this is not me?
I wonder if there'll be an online version of you that has its own spirit, so to speak, online that like is going around reaping havoc online and just,
If there's two of me, that's going to be such a problem for so many people.
Don't get me wrong. No, but there's days where I could use but two of me. And you'd be the exact same.
Like a clone
well.
Of some sort to do something. I could use a clone just to do my dishes, honestly.
There you go.
Let's see. The other one is the obvious ChatGPT.
Yep.
I love it. I'm really starting to become more of a power user of it, not just from like a content inspiration, repurposing speed kind of level, but also taking reports and that, you know, I'm pulling from Google and having it basically create an executive summary for me. And then I just put my thumbprint on, because I think that's the hardest thing for clients to understand is like, here's the data, here's what the data is saying. And so I even can say, hey, can you write it, you know, at a sixth grade level so that they can understand it. So I'm getting into the weeds of that and I'm really excited about it. But I always, ChatGPT is never, ever, ever, ever a thing to replace your social media manager, your virtual assistant, your copywriter, your blog writer, your video script person. Like, it is not there for that, because I will tell you right now, Google, I think, released recently that they're going to start, I'm going to say purging, AI exclusive written content. Yeah. Meaning if you have, and you'll, I mean, there's crazy data where, you know, people have like over a million, you know, website visitors, and today they have zero because all their content was written by AI with no human interaction.
It's an unbelievable, like it's actually one of the things that I remember them saying about people using it for homework in schools. Yeah. And then the school system has come up with a way to obviously wash it to make sure that it's not AI driven.
Yeah.
So anyway, like, again, AI is an interesting category, you know, it's a whole nother rabbit hole to go down. But let's talk about, I've got down here on LinkedIn that you've had your company open and been running for over 9 years.
Yeah.
So OSnap Social. Obviously the social media industry is something that many, many people find difficult to navigate through. So how did you start this, and, you know, what do you do on a daily basis, I guess?
Yeah. So I started it as a side hustle. I worked for a branding agency and several startups, and I was always the one that was thrown into the social media realm because they're like, oh, you're young, like you can do this. And I'm like, sweet. But truth be told,
figure it out.
Right. We can figure it out. It's all good. But truth be told, like, I have always had the roots in writing, and I just thought it was really cool that companies and personal brands could quite literally own their own narrative on social, and that journalists and PR people could go and grab that narrative very easily without waiting for a back and forth response. And a 24-hour news cycle, that is like invaluable. So I was first intrigued there, built it on the side. And then about 5 years ago, I went full time for myself. It was around like my 30th birthday. And I was like, am I going to do this or am I not going to do this? Like, what are we doing here? Am I going to live with the regret of not doing it, or just do it? And if I fail, I fail. And at least I can say that I tried it. So I went all in. I hired a business coach to give me the language to quit in a very toxic workplace that I was currently working in. Okay. Because I am not of the camp that burns bridges. That's not my vibe. That's not what I do. And a lot of the relationships and opportunities that come to me are because I've built really solid relationships over the years. So, and day to day for me, it is creating content. It's consulting with clients on how to create content for themselves or with their virtual assistants that they have. But by far my favorite thing, and I think my team would say this is their favorite thing too, is doing social media audits and social media strategies for our clients, because they're never the same. It's always fun to kind of pop the hood and like look around and see, okay, what's working for this person? What's not? How can we help them with basic recommendations to help move the needle forward? Right. And it also helps our clients really spend the time figuring out what is their goal of social media? What does that success look like? And for a lot of us, it's like, I don't know. So getting them to
far unadjusted. It's funny that they expect social media to cure all of their problems.
Oh, it's just, you know, it's just like a fraction of all of the other marketing efforts that we need to be doing. And I think you touched on that earlier in the episode.
Yeah. Well, again, congratulations to all your success. I think it's an avenue where you can absolutely, you can see people at the, it's funny. I think that when you sell someone's house or you're in their home, you see them at a completely vulnerable position in their life because they're going through a great deal of change. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that social media is this great vulnerability amongst people as well, because they feel so uncomfortable with it.
Yeah. And what's that saying? Like, the only constant in life is change. The same as for social media.
There you go. There you go indeed. Well, as we round out our time together, I like to always ask our guests around some life hacks. Obviously, you're a business owner. You've gone through, you know, a few little things. We were hoping that the toddler doesn't have a tantrum in the middle of the episode, but hey, she's done well, or he's done well. She, well. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Great. And I guess that what are some life hacks that you might want to share? Podcast episodes, you know, maybe books that you've read, things like that, just general stuff.
Yeah, I think my biggest like hack that got me really started into like, I can do this thing by myself was the book Profit First. That really gave me the basics of like, how am I going to pay myself from this whole thing? Like, what does that look like? What do I need to do? How can I save for taxes? All those things. Because I didn't have a business degree. I had a print journalism degree. And here we are navigating the digital landscape, you know? So that's one thing. That was the book that changed everything for me. And then the other hack that I've recently, I guess, implemented, I wouldn't say that I'm like 100% great at executing it, but we're getting there, is having every Tuesday be my CEO day, where I work on my business, not in it. So like I'm working on business development, where I'm making calls, I'm following up with leads. I'm doing some of my own marketing because, you know, cobbler's kids have no shoes. Social media strategists have no social media. Like that is a very real thing. So that's what I'm working on those Tuesdays. My team knows it. And I try to be as focused as I can to get as much content done that day for myself.
I like that a lot. So any podcasts or anything, any recommendations that you've got from that perspective to keep a finger on the pulse in the marketing world or anything else that you like to listen to just in general?
I love the Social Media Examiner podcast / just socialmediaexaminer.com in general. They have a ton of resources there and articles that are like right on the brink and staying up to date from like actual technicians, like people that do the work, not just like, you know, theorists and people that subscribe to a methodology. That's one of my biggest recommendations. So their podcast or just that website is spectacular. They also have a YouTube channel, which is great to see like the how-tos.
Absolutely. Now, final question that had just come to me because I was going to ask this on the last episode when I had a guest on, but I forgot to. One of the biggest struggles I have is picking a show on Netflix. Okay. Anything on Netflix or any series that you're recommending, or you're only allowed to recommend one, okay? Because otherwise you're just going to cloud the judgment even further.
I'm the worst. I don't watch a lot of TV.
Okay. Give me something. Give me something though. Come on.
I just might love mindless, crappy TV. Oh my God. I just love it. Like, what are we watching? Married at First Sight. Love it.
Oh yeah. I've heard good things.
Love it, but it's just trash.
Oh and yeah.
Yeah. Those types of shows. I'm just like, ooh, science experiment. Like, this is great. You know, and it's about communication and like,
where
you know,
all that does to me is raise my anxiety levels. So I've got to be honest. Wow.
But then you're like looking and you're like, at least that's not my life.
That's so true. It's a measure of like, oh, maybe I'm not that screwed up. We're good here.
It's like the scale. You're like, where am I on this level of suck? I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Well, on that note, Carolyn, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on Rethink Real Estate. I think that it's been a great conversation around some of the things in social media that make us all uncomfortable. In the show notes, everybody can reach out to you and possibly take their social media journey to the next level or just understand a little bit more, I think. Yes. I think that's probably one of the things you could help do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.